Hello and welcome to the game of John Kurtz, joined by Tyler Dreiling and Grant Flanders in today for Mitch Fortner. Coming up on the show, 5'10", Sam Mellinger, our conversation with him from Big 12 Media Days. Covered a lot of topics, including who he thinks should be the next head coach of the K-State football program. Also, hear from Trent Tanking at 4:25, Wildcats linebacker. He'll give you the lowdown on who is competing for playing time with him at the linebacker spot. As always, you can communicate with us on Facebook and Twitter. It's the Game KMAN for your questions or comments. We did tweet a question out earlier that we will address in hour two at 5:25, little People's Court Tyler Dreiling edition. 537-1350, toll free 866-776-1350 to call the show as well. We lead off today with what may seem boring on the surface, another watch list that came out today. But the Wildcats with two players on the Doak Walker Award watch list given to the best running back in the country. That came to me as a mild surprise. We talk a lot about Alex Barnes, but he was joined by Justin Silman on the preseason watch list for the Doak Walker Award, which is a nice feather in the cap, I think, for this group that probably should be getting some more respect overall, to be completely honest, based on what we've seen from some of the preseason magazines and just overall preseason all Big 12 teams so far for the league. You know, none of those guys, and I say those guys, neither of those two got any kind of all Big 12 honors preseason from the media list, and that's even with Samaje Perine, Joe Mixon, Deontay Foreman, Shaq Linwood, all those guys gone from last year. They still didn't get any love on the first team when we feel like it's pretty wide open. They also, according to Phil Steele, are the eighth best running back group in the conference, which seems crazy. And they're outside of the top 50 nationally when he goes through and ranks all the different units. So that to me is way, way too low for two guys that averaged, in Alex Barnes' case, over 7 yards per carry last year, Justin Silman's case, over 5 yards per carry last year, and clearly, judging by the eye test, are fairly talented backs. I realize it's very July-y to be getting into the weeds and drawn into arguments about where guys are in terms of unit rankings in the Big 12, but I think it's fair to say, even as close as we are to the situation and as close as we are to these guys, they've been underrated. This goes back to like May. I can remember having the conversation, who is most poised to be a breakout star for the team? And I said Alex Barnes, and a lot of that had to do with just the fact that because his stats were not eye-popping in terms of a bunch of carries, a bunch of yards, a bunch of touchdowns, people just don't have too much of a realization of who he is or the talent that he has.
I think that that it also comes off, you know, kind of as a purple glasses thing, us sitting here talking about how good they're going to be. And trust me, I am very confident that they're going to be very good, but we're going to treat them a little bit differently than whoever is going to play running back this year at some other Power 5 school that that we don't get to look at closely. But you just look at it from the standpoint of K-State is one of only five schools that has two guys on the Doak Walker watch list. The others are Alabama, Georgia, Arizona State, and Western Michigan. That's a pretty short list of schools that have that much respect from the people who select for the Doak Walker Award. And I just think that it's not just that we didn't get to see a whole lot of Alex Barnes last year. I think a lot of it is because K-State's offense, the national perception is that it's completely quarterback-based, and even when the running game is successful, it's the quarterback that's doing a lot of it. Jesse Ertz did lead the team in both carries, yards, or in all categories, carries, yards, and touchdowns last year. And so maybe that perception kind of takes away from the respect that you would give to K-State's running
backs. Well, it's not even really a perception. I mean, who was the bigger threat running football last year?
True.
It was Jesse Ertz. Like, I don't think either of us are going to say that Charles Jones was the biggest threat. And he, by the way, was on the Doak Walker Award watch list going into last year as well. Now, having said all that, there is somewhat of a hook here and a caveat to this discussion, and that is that you just rattled off the fact that there are only five other teams that have two guys on this list. Well, I think K-State is much better than eighth best in the Big 12 at running back and outside of the top 50 nationally. I'm not about to start thinking that they would be 10 or 15 nationally right now, because you start going down that list, man, there are some great running backs. I don't think, as much as we love him, you're going to catch anybody around here comparing the talent level of Alex Barnes to Saquon Barkley of Penn State, Bo Scarborough, or the other kid, I can't even remember his name,
Nick
but
Chubb.
Alabama, just, no, I'm talking about Alabama. They've got two guys they just rotate in beasts at running back that are impossible to tackle year after year after year. And I don't think they are on that same kind of level. So there is an aspect here of we get so excited about a guy like Alex Barnes because playmakers like him have been few and far between really since Tyler Lockett left this offense back after the 2014 season. So I think there's a sense of just starving for anybody with some playmaking ability on the offensive side of the ball. So we therefore overvalue him because of that. And I don't think that this is a top 15, top 10 type of running back group in the country.
I think that they could be by the end of the year. Top 10 might be a stretch, but you know, top 15, top 20, I think they definitely could be that by the end of the year. The question is, do you consider it disrespect that they're not being talked about in that kind of verbiage right now? I mean, I think that them being outside the top 50 is definitely some bulletin board material. Even as we sit here today, I would say that that's got to be a top 30 or 40 unit, probably. I mean, because the other thing you have to factor in here is offensive line. I mean, it doesn't matter. You know, I saw one of Reggie Bush's highlight tapes earlier this morning, and Reggie Bush was one of the great college running backs, but it takes more than just being a great running back if you don't have an offensive line in front of you. And K-State has an established one that was really good last year and didn't lose much. So I think that that needs to be factored in, and you can say that this is disrespectful.
I guess my question to you would be, what leg are you standing on other than the offensive line being good to say that these guys belong in that discussion to be in the upper echelon? Because statistically, and this is not really their fault, they didn't get as many carries as I think we feel like they should have last year. But statistically, I mean, Alex Barnes has like 56 carries in his career. Like, yeah, he averages 7-plus yards per carry, but his total yardage numbers, you start looking through the Phil Steele list of returning leading rushers in the conference, they list like 15. He's not even in the top 15 in leading returning rushers last year in terms of how many yards that he has. Justin Silman has always been a complimentary back at best, sitting behind Charles Jones in his career here. So they don't have the stats. Neither of those guys have the pedigree in terms of being like a 4- or 5-star recruit that would have been on a lot of people's radars going into this. My question would be, what leg is there to stand on that you would think that there should be a big level of national respect
I think that
for
if
these
you,
guys going into the season?
I think that they got enough carries last year that there should be some legitimate buzz. And even if you want to say that they didn't, I think that if you took what Charles Jones did last year and just wiped him off the team, said that he was never there, and you gave those carries to them and you looked at what their numbers would have been, I realize that Alex Barnes, if you double his carries, he's probably not going to be averaging 7.9 yards a carry, but they're still going to be really, really good numbers. And he was, you know, sixth in the country last year among all running backs with at least 50 carries in yards per carry. So I think that if you look at it that way, you can make the case that, look, his career is young, but everything that we've seen so far should indicate that this should be a breakout year for him.
But a lot of – I mean, you can't – when you're doing a preseason list, which the Doak Walker, by the way, is fine because they're the ones that have brought up this conversation. But if you're doing a magazine – like Phil Steele, can you just start projecting everything out based on all of that? I mean, that is a difficult exercise. Like, we get so bogged down on our guys, they're disrespecting our guys, because if you took this and you knew our guys like we knew our guys, then you would realize how good they're going to be. Do you realize what an act it would take to do that for every single team in the country, every Division I team, to be like, well, let's look at this guy and what people think his relative you know, like what his perception is there locally to those around the team, and if they perceive that he's going to be very good, and then how much bias is there in that. That is way too difficult to do if you are making lists like that. So while I think they should be higher than where Phil Steele had them, I can understand how he arrives there just because they don't have too much data on them in their careers other than someone being a complimentary guy and Alex Barnes being a perplexing case last year that only got 56 carries. I think some of what I hear from you is it just feels like, hey, man, like this is my kid. You don't understand. You can't be putting my kid on the bench. My kid is so much more talented than the other kids. He listens better. You just don't understand how special my kid is.
I mean, Yeah, and what was the very first thing that I said at the top of the segment? This is very purple glasses, and it is, because, like I said, it's difficult to see what Alex Barnes did last year and then compare that to whoever's playing running back this year at Stanford or Vanderbilt or any school that you want to throw out there and say this is definitively better. But
well, you just picked two schools with good running backs. So there's that Bryce Love kid at Stanford, and then the Vandy running back that's actually the best player on their offense.
Okay.
So.
What? Bad. That's bad fortune, I guess. But that's just what. That's how I feel. I'm really excited about this group, and I think by the end of the year, the nation will know about it.
That's the problem there. Vandy running back has numbers. Stanford running back has pedigree. I just think the answer lies somewhere in between. In between being one of six teams with multiple guys on the Doak Walker watch list, and then being over 50th in the country, according to Phil Steele, being like the 60th best running back group in the country. The answer lies somewhere in between there. We'll talk with Sam Ehlinger at 5:10 from the Kansas City Star, columnist, who he thinks should be the next head coach here at K-State. When we come back, we already know Trent Tanking is going to play some linebacker this year at K-State, but who does he say he expects to play with him? You'll find that out here on The Game.